You know, Bob, something similar happened to me. Last night, I was very comfortable with the sermon that I had prepared. So comfortable that I felt that this was the message to deliver to this people today. But this morning, something changed. And I had a song that kept running over and over and over in my mind. And then some thoughts started coming. And you know, many times the Lord has a way of stopping us short. And maybe the guitar was covering up your voice. And the Lord wanted us to hear your voice this morning. The thought that came into my mind was about the song that I kept thinking about this morning. And the song is hymn number 116, Wonderful Words of Life. And I wondered why in the world the Lord would want me to speak on the wonderful words of life this morning. And it says, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. In Christ the Blessed One gives to all, wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. And the thought that came into my mind as I thought about this was as many of you know, I teach at the chiropractic college, and really I teach the basics, a lot of the basics that they must know in order to be a successful chiropractor, to pass their test, and to get a license. But you know, oftentimes they don't hear the words that we have to offer them. They don't listen to the wonderful words, just as many of us do not listen to the wonderful words of life that is offered through the scriptures and through the preaching and through the teaching. They feel like at the chiropractic college that many times we're too repetitious, that we sing them over and over and over again. And I'm sure that there's times when the congregation must think to themselves, is that all that the preachers know how to preach? Is repentance, faith, baptism, the basics of the gospel of Christ, the doctrine of Christ? And no, that's not all we know how to preach, but a lot of times that's what the Master places on our hearts is sing them over again to me. Repeat them, those wonderful words of life. And you know, our Master has provided us with some beautiful scriptures. And many times we don't heed what they have to say. And I'm going to be winging it this morning in that I had a chance to look up a few scripture, but most of it was on something else that I was going to preach. But I'm reminded of a area of the book of the Bible, and I would like to open with I believe it's John, the 6th chapter. And this is right after Christ had delivered the Sermon on the Mount, and he had fed 5,000. And there was some that had walked away. And I'm going to start with the 22nd verse. Now, my Bible might read just a little bit differently than yours because I'm going to read out of the Inspired Version. As 6th chapter, 22nd verse. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. These people were looking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, how camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye desire to keep my sayings, neither because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves which were filled, and were filled. You know, now this is many times how we see it. There's some that has embraced Christianity, has embraced Christ, the gospel of Christ, not because they seek Christ, and not because they desire to keep his sayings, neither because they saw miracles, but because they did eat of the loaves and were filled. Christ goes on and says, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man hath power to give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now what are those things, that meat which endureth unto everlasting life? Those are the wonderful words of life. The wonderful words that Jesus gave to the people in olden times. And not only did he give them to the people in olden times, but he came into this country. And he spoke unto the disciples and called the people together in this great country that we live in. And told them the wonderful words of life. You know, Jesus claims that he didn't come just for the Jews. That he came for the people of the house of Israel, the lost tribes. That he came unto the people of this country, the ancient American Indians. And he spoke to them and delivered unto them those words that would go on to save. And not only did our Savior do this for the people of Israel, the Jews, and for the people of the Americas, but later on, he restored this wonderful gospel to us. He gave us the wonderful words of life. And many times we look at these words and we see the man that delivered many of them. And we have criticism and doubt because of he who had been close to God and was given the wonderful words of life. There are those that seek to destroy the word that came through Joseph Smith, the word of the Book of Mormon. Those weren't Joseph's words. As all of you know, they were not Joseph's words, but they were the words that were written down by the ancient Americans through the power and the gift and the glory to God through Jesus Christ. Those wonderful words, the wonderful words of life. And we see in the Scriptures, in the Book of Mormon, and we read that there are those things that were given in ancient times that were taken away from the Bible. They were taken out through plain and precious things. And yet, God had a plan. And through the ignorance of man, He restored that plan. He restored that plan so that you and I would be able to receive the wonderful words of life as delivered by God and Jesus Christ. We know that later on in the Scriptures, we'll read that there was things that must be brought forth by the hand of man through the Spirit. We're told that when we are in a meeting that we're not to consider the things that we desire, but let the Spirit take hold. Let the Spirit direct. Let the Spirit speak forth. And hopefully that's what I'm going to do today, is let the Spirit speak forth. I'd like to turn to the Book of Commandments. Page 26. And this is speaking to you and I. It's a revelation to Joseph, Oliver, and David, making known the calling of the 12 disciples in the last days. This was delivered in June of 1829. And it says, "Behold, I have manifested unto you by my Spirit in many instances that the things which you have written are true. Wherefore, you know that they are true, and if you know that they are true, behold, I give unto you a commandment that you rely upon the things which are written. For in them are all things written, according to my church, my gospel, and my rock, the plain and precious things. Wherefore, if you shall build up my church, and my gospel, and my rock, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Behold, the world is ripening in iniquity, and it must needs be that the children of men are stirred up unto repentance, both Gentile and the house of Israel." That is our job in these latter days, these last days, is to stir up the hearts of men, not only of the house of Israel, but the Gentiles as well, to take this gospel and preach it forth unto all those that would give ear, and teach them that the Lord Jesus Christ is true. That the Lord Jesus Christ, all He asks of us is that we repent and believe on His Word and be baptized and endure to the end. "Behold, the world is ripening in iniquity, and it must needs be that the children of men are stirred up unto repentance, both Gentile and also the house of Israel. Wherefore, as thou hast baptized by the hand of my servant, according to that which I have commanded, wherefore he hath fulfilled the thing which I commanded him. And now marvel not that I have called him unto my own purpose, which purpose is known in me. Wherefore, if ye shall be diligent in keeping my commandments, ye shall be blessed unto eternal life. And his name is Joseph. And now, Oliver, I speak unto you and also unto David by way of commandment." Now, really, This is speaking to Joseph, David, and Oliver. But it's not just speaking to them, it's speaking to us today. For behold, I command all men everywhere to repent. And I speak unto you, even as unto Paul, mine apostle. For you are called even with that same calling with which he was called. Remember, the worth of the soul is great in the sight of God. God does not want any soul to perish, but he wants all to come and be saved through Jesus Christ. For behold, I command all men everywhere to repent. And I speak unto you, even as Paul, mine apostle, for ye are called, even with that same calling which he was called. Remember, the worth of a soul is great in the sight of God. For behold, the Lord God suffereth death in the flesh. Wherefore he suffered the pains of all men, that men might repent and come unto him. Now, we just passed that time in of the season which we remember the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us, that of hanging on the cross, being tried of man, found guilty, and hanging on the cross. And you know, I often stop and shudder. I know from experience that even the pricking of the finger hurts. But imagine in your own mind's eye the pain that our Lord must have suffered as he carried the cross along that street. And how the thorns around his brow were digging in. Now, if a small pinprick can hurt, think what the thorns would do around your head. And then imagine for yourselves the pain of having the nails driven through your hand and through your feet. And then I'm sure that they didn't put the cross down in the hole easily, and the jar that took place. And then imagine that spear that pierced his side, and the vinegar that he was given to drink. Did he suffer the pains of mankind? Those physical sufferings that he had was not the things that caused Christ such great torment. But what caused Christ such great torment was the sins that he took upon him of you and of myself. And you know, I come up way short when I see and I think of the pains that Christ suffers for my sake. For behold, the Lord God suffereth death in the flesh. Wherefore he suffereth the pains of all men, that all men might repent and come unto him. And he hath risen again from the dead, that he might bring all men unto him on conditions of repentance. And how great is his joy in the soul that repenteth. Wherefore, you are to cry repentance unto this people. Do you remember in the scriptures, in the Bible, Jesus said that we were to cry repentance unto the people? In the Book of Mormon, we were to cry repentance unto the people. In modern day Revelation, it has not changed. We are to cry repentance unto the people. And if it so be that you should labor in all your days in crying repentance unto this people, and bring, save it be, one soul only unto me. How great shall be your joy with him in the kingdom of my Father. Can you imagine the joy that we're going to have if we can convince one person, just one person, to believe in Jesus Christ, be baptized in Jesus Christ, and endure through Jesus Christ to the end of his days, and he be saved in the kingdom of God at that last day? Can you think of the joy? And what great joy it is when we see that our children are baptized and are following the gospel of Christ. And how wonderful it is to see our brothers and sisters gather and know that if they will but endure to the end, they will be saved in the kingdom of God at that last day. And now if your joy will be great with one soul that you have brought unto me into the kingdom of my Father, how great will be your joy if you should bring many souls unto me. And my question before you is, and before myself, is what are we doing to bring souls unto Jesus Christ? What have we done in this past week to bring souls unto Jesus Christ? What have we done in this past month to bring souls unto Jesus Christ? And what have we done in this past year to bring souls unto Jesus Christ? This church would be overflowing if we were just doing what God has called and told us to do. Behold, you have my gospel before you, and my rock, and my salvation. Ask the Father in my name, in faith believing that you shall receive, and you shall have the Holy Ghost which manifests all things, which is expedient unto the children of men. You have it all before you. I have it all before me. Now what is stopping me? What is stopping me from sharing the love of Jesus Christ with the world? Maybe I haven't had it sang enough times over again to me, the wonderful words of life. And if you have not faith, hope, and charity, you can do nothing. And this is a very important part, this next part. Contend against no church, save it be the church of the devil. Take upon you my name, take upon you the name of Christ, and speak truth in soberness. These are the lessons that God has for us this day. Don't contend against other churches, unless it be the church of the devil. And take upon you the name of Christ and speak the truth in soberness. And as many as repent and are baptized in my name, which is Jesus Christ, and endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Behold, Jesus Christ is the name which is given of the Father, and there is none other name given whereby man can be saved. They can't be saved in the name of Larry, can they? They couldn't be saved in the name of Peter, and Larry doesn't stand up to Peter, so they certainly couldn't be saved in my name. But they can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is what we're to promote. Wherefore, all men must take upon them the name which is given of the Father, for in that name shall they be called at the last day. And that is what we desire. That is what we seek for. That is what we earnestly desire within our hearts, is that when we come to that last day, that Jesus will stand before the Father and claim us as His own. That we've taken upon us His name. We were baptized and we endured and we strived in our lives to spread His gospel and to bring others to the knowledge that they could be saved through the power of Jesus Christ. And now behold, there are others which are called to declare my gospel, both unto the Gentiles and Jews, even unto 12. And the 12 shall be my disciples, and they shall take upon them my name. And the 12 and the 12 are they which shall desire to take upon them my name with full purpose of heart. And you know, I believe that. I believe that the 12 have desired to take upon them the name of Christ with full purpose of heart. And if they desire to take upon them my name with full purpose of heart, they are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just to us who are already saved or converted and saved through the power and blood of Jesus Christ, but unto all the world they're to go out and preach the gospel. Now I'm going to skip down a little bit. And you shall fall down and worship the Father in my name. And you must preach unto the world, saying, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For all men must repent and be baptized. And not only men, but women and children, which have arisen to the years of accountability. And now, after that you have received this, you must keep my commandments in all things. So once we are baptized into Christ, that's not all. Many people think that that's all, but that's not all. Is that we must keep His commandments in all things. Not just a few, but all things. And by your hands I will work many marvelous works among the children of men, unto the convincing of many of their sins, that they may come unto repentance, and that they may come unto the kingdom in my kingdom of my Father. Wherefore the blessings which I give unto you are above all things. And after that you have received this, if you keep not my commandments, you cannot be saved in the kingdom of my Father. It says, behold, I, Jesus Christ, your Lord and your God and your Redeemer, by the power of my Spirit, have spoken it. Amen. And I believe this Scripture. I believe that this is Scripture. That this is a commandment given unto us by Jesus Christ. And not only has He given the Bible and the Book of Mormon, but He does speak to men in these last days, these latter days, He has spoken. And He will continue to speak. This is found on page 423 of the Book of Mormon. I'm starting with the 151st verse. And it says, but behold, if you will awaken and arouse your faculties, even unto the experiencing upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe. And that's where it first starts. It's not in believing. It's in desiring to believe. Now, do you desire to believe? Let this desire work in you, even until ye believe in a manner that ye can give place to a portion of my words. And now we will compare the words unto the seed. Now if ye give place that a seed may be planted in your hearts, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if ye do not cast it out by your unbelief, that ye may resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within you, or within your breast. And when you feel these swellings, these swelling motions, ye will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, it beginneth to be delicious unto me. Brothers and sisters, is the Word of God delicious unto you? Do you seek to devour this delicious Word, these wonderful words of life? And now behold, would not nevertheless it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. Skip on over to 169. And thus it is, if you will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, you can never pluck the fruit of the tree of life. If you don't desire this fruit, if you don't allow it to grow, you cannot pluck the fruit thereof if you do not allow it to grow within you. But if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow by your faith with great diligence and with patience looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree. Behold, it shall be a tree spring up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word, in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is the most precious. Which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that which is white. Yea, and pure above all that which is pure. And if you shall feast upon the fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence, and your patience, and your long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. My brothers and sisters, this is the desire of my heart. The desire of my heart is that each one of you, those that have made a commitment to Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism, might go on to perfection and on to eternal life. But it is a greater desire that those that have not made the commitment with Jesus Christ might do so. That they might have a conviction within their hearts that this is right. That they must follow Christ to the end of their days and be saved in the kingdom of God. I would like to turn now to page 635 of the Book of Mormon. And I want to start reading at 43. And this is Jesus speaking to the multitude. Therefore, go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto Nephi and to those who had been called, now the number of them who had been called and received power and authority to baptize were 12. And behold, they stretched forth their hands unto the multitude and cried unto them, saying, Behold, he stretched forth his hands unto the multitude and cried unto them, saying, Blessed are ye if ye shall give heed unto the words of these 12 whom I have chosen, from whom you have from among you to minister unto you and be your servants. And to them I have given power that they may baptize with water, and after that ye have baptized with water, behold, I will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall believe in me and be baptized, after that ye have seen me and know that I am. And again, more blessed are they who shall believe in your words, because ye have testified that ye have seen me and that ye know that I am. And blessed are they who shall believe in your words and come down into the depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost and shall receive a remission of their sins. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit who come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are they that seek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are all the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceedingly glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven, for they so persecuted the prophets who were before you. Brothers and sisters, this is our obligation. Our obligation is to take these wonderful words that Jesus Christ has given us through the Bible and the Book of Mormon and modern day revelations and make them part of our lives. Not just books that sit on a table and get dusted off when our wives come by to dust the furniture, but to take them and dust them every day and read the Scriptures and make them part of our lives, that we might be guided and directed along life's pathway. Because great is going to be our reward if we will endure to the end, if we will follow the words of Christ, those beautiful words, those wonderful words, the wonderful words of life. Well, I hope this wasn't too disjointed today, but I really felt like that the other sermon was for you and me, but I think God seen differently. And a lot of times in our preparations, even though we seek the direction of our Heavenly Father, many times in our preparations we institute our own will into it. And it's wonderful when God will stop you in the middle of something and say, listen, that's not exactly what I wanted you to bring forth. That's not exactly what I intended. But speak these words, and I will give you power. And I pray to God that we will always pay attention to the guidings of the Holy Spirit within our lives. I pray to God that we would always seek to do His will. And that if we have not made the commitment to Jesus, that we would do so. And that we would follow Him to the end of our days. This is my prayer. This is my prayer for myself as well as you. That we will be found at the last day of our life, worshiping our Heavenly Father. And that we will be found when we're standing before the great judgment seat of God. That Jesus will stand and say, "These are mine. You have given me these. Let them enter in." Wouldn't that be wonderful? God bless you.